Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. We are recording. And now, last time we stopped at, we finished the plan. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a plan. Anybody remembers the plan? Huh?
So he's escaping to go south.
Medina's north of Mecca.
He did south and then he went north.
Yeah. And instead of going north to Medina,
he went south. And then his cousin Ali, he took Prophet Muhammad's spot as sleeping, sleeping. And then while they're distracted, Prophet Muhammad could go to Medina.
Okay. How about there's another reason Ali ibn Abi Talib is to return back the things that the Prophet was trusted with, right?
Yeah.
What else? How about news?
The
Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, right?
Yeah.
10 years old boy, will play.
Yeah, he'll play spying.
Right, and spying. How about the food and drinks?
They're not here. We can't find them. No one's there.
Okay.
I saw Asya earlier, but then it's...
You're recording, right?
Okay.
Hello.
Okay. We were talking about the plan of the Prophet that he did, which is he made Ali sleep in his bed, okay, to return back the trust thing and to confuse and to fool the bad guys. The second thing is that he traveled south. Medina's north. He traveled in the opposite direction, which is south. Muhammad ibn Abi Talib, Muhammad ibn Abu Bakr will bring him the news, who was a 10 years old boy.
And he waited a few days before traveling to Medina, so then Quraysh would give up on finding him.
Perfect. He made a plan to hide in the cave up. What's the name of the cave that that the Prophet hid in?
Do you have another marker?
Why?
It should be behind.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And if you have anything specific for me to write?
Yeah, so we're talking about the part where he travels out and leaves Ali on his
way. Yeah, we don't we're not going to we're not going to talk about his plan. Okay? What else? What else on the plan?
You're late.
What else?
I was helping my mom in the teacher's room. I was in the bathroom. I was helping my mom the teacher.
I am go ahead.
Bring a chair. The plan was to bring him food and water from the cave.
That's right. How about the Prophet's footsteps?
She had to cover it up.
Hey, using? The sheep?
Using the sheep?
Yeah. She would walk behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his and her father, and they would cover. Now, because of this, by the way, because of this, Asma bint Abi Bakr, who is the sister of?
Sister,
even
daughter?
Sister of Aisha, the wife of the Prophet. The daughter of Abu Bakr. Okay. Now, she was called the woman. Because of this, she was called the woman of the two scarves. So two scarves. In other words, the woman who cut her scarf into two.
Oh,
the woman of the two scarves. Why? Do you remember?
No.
Do you remember why? Do you remember why she was called that way?
Because she cut her scarf.
He cut her scarf into two. One, she would cover her head. And the other one, she wraps the food. She wraps the food and nobody will see it. She wraps the food and nobody will see it. So she was called, we're just saying, so we start on the woman of the two veils.
The woman with the what?
Two veils.
Wait, you didn't post the note on.
What? I did.
No, you didn't.
I did. Did you refresh?
From last week?
No.
I haven't listened.
Yeah, you didn't.
I haven't listened.
Hi, Mommy.
Okay.
Hi, Dad.
I'm going to check on it to see what's going on. But anyway, the she's called the woman of the, she's Asma bint Abi Bakr, the sister of Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, and the daughter of Abu Bakr. Because she cut her scarf into two. One part would use to cover the food of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and her father. And the second part was to cover her hair, her head. You know why? Because if the food is seen by the bad guys, they would say, why, where are you taking this food? Is it to your father and to Muhammad and your father? You know what I'm saying? Asma bint Abu Bakr, yes. The wife of Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr.
The sister.
Okay. Now, the plan of the Prophet, was it good plan? Well, we have a lot of TAs.
Can I listen?
Yes, sure you can.
And you have to do the homework too.
She doesn't. Okay. Okay. All right. So, do you know the perfect plan that the Prophet Muhammad did? It's the perfect plan. By the way, failure to plan is, they say failure to plan is a plan to fail.
What?
Failure to plan is a plan to fail. Do you know that?
Oh, I get it.
Failure to plan is a plan to fail. Was anybody exempted from planning? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the planning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the good plan. It's a very good plan. Did the plan succeed or fail?
Succeed.
Unfortunately, it failed the three times.
What?
It failed the three different times. What was the first time the Prophet's plan was failed? Even though he did all these plans and very clever plan. The first time is that, you know, why the bad guys or the Arab lords, why didn't they kill Prophet Muhammad? Why they were not able to kill him?
Because they were going to civil war.
Exactly. Why? Because, do you know how this would cause a summer?
Yeah.
Huh?
If the only people that believed in the idols and all that, they would fight with the Muslims.
Yeah, there was a tribalism, basically. Tribalism means the people of my tribe are always right. Okay? So, what happened is that, why weren't they, the Arab lords, why weren't they able to kill the Prophet?
Because he wasn't there?
No, no. And from the beginning, at the beginning of his da'wah, or his message, delivering the message. Because they are afraid of a civil war. Why? What would bring the civil war? How the civil war is caused? Because if they kill Muhammad, one guy kills Muhammad, then the clan of Muhammad has to take revenge. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
The clan of Muhammad had to get revenge.
So the first plan failed because...
Okay. Because the... Okay. Then the clan of the Prophet is going... If you can't follow me, then somebody else has to do it.
Okay, no, because like, there was like different stuff.
Okay, I'm just to emphasize
it. She's good at taking notes.
It's recording.
Okay. Okay, so it was the clan of the Prophet and the people who and their allies are going to fight with the clan of the guy who kills the Prophet and
their
allies. So Mecca is going to be in a civil war. Civil war will destroy Mecca. However, at the end, they came up with a very clever plan. What was it?
One person.
Yes. They went into four... Huh?
Isn't it... They were going to... Instead of taking one person for one person only, they would take one person, like the strongest man, and then all their allies, so the pagan, like Arab pagan, they would take the strongest man from their clans and their allies, and they would all put them together, and then they would all kill them.
Perfect. 40 different clans. They selected the strongest of 40 different clans. Can you use this table instead of being all three of you on a table? Use this table. No, not you. She. Use this table. And if you talk, you in particular, you have to leave.
Me?
If you talk.
Oh, okay.
Where's the chair?
You can use this chair. Can I get you to sit over here? Can I get you to sit over here? She.
Me?
Yeah. If you find yourself sitting to someone who you're going to chat with, then move. Okay, we don't want to waste time by saying shh, shh. Okay, you girls are smart, deep thinkers, okay? So they came up with this plan. 40 different people from 40 different clans. They all killed the prophet what? Together. So now the clan of the prophet has to fight with 40 different clans. Is this possible? No, so they would accept the monetary compensation. Like they would accept the monetary compensation for killing the prophet, and that's it. Do you understand? Now, prophet didn't know about that. So what happened is that there suddenly, and the prophet inside, suddenly they surrounded the house of the prophet. Suddenly they surrounded the house of the prophet. 40 people. Now, the prophet is where?
Inside.
The prophet is inside. Can he get out?
No.
No. Is this a failure for his plan?
Sort of.
Yeah, it's a failure. Okay. It's a failure. Is there anything else the prophet could have done? No, Abu Bakr was traveling with him. Is there anything the prophet could have done? Not inside the house, outside. No. Was there anything the prophet could have done?
He could have gone and hide. Yeah.
Yes. Pray. No. No. So there is. How do you spell desperate?
Write it down
here. There is something called desperate. Desperate. So did the prophet become desperate?
Yeah.
Yes. Is there a way out?
No.
No. Did he do everything that can be done? Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. You did everything he can do. There's no way out. Okay? And his plan failed. Okay? So, now comes something called unseen soldiers. Unseen soldiers. Unseen soldiers are soldiers of Allah, like the wind, okay, like the earthquakes, all these things, things
natural
that Allah uses.
Are they natural disasters?
Let me tell you what is the unseen silver, unseen soldiers in this case. So what would, the prophet becomes a desperate. When the prophet becomes a desperate, then because he did everything he can do, and he has a good relation with Allah, Allah will bail him out using a miracle. A miracle. So when do you get the miracle? What was that miracle, by the way?
Huh? And the soldiers, they felt sleepy, and then they fell asleep outside his house, and then they met the prophet.
Yes. Is that, the law of nature says that 40 people can't fall to sleep together. And sleep deeply not to feel the prophet is going out. Okay? And, you know, when you have an important task, can you go to sleep?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
You have a really nice sleep.
With America. Which is making 40 people, the 40 soldiers, all sleep. Okay. So what did you learn from that? When you become desperate, you have done everything you can do, and you become desperate. Then you get the help of Allah with the unseen soldiers. What are the unseen soldiers here? Sleep. Sleep is the unseen soldier. How? Because they all slept. and the prophet came out. Was this the only failure of the plan of the prophet? No. His plan came to failure again. Who knows how?
He went south.
How?
He didn't have
to. What did you say? How did his plan came to failure the second time?
The second or the third?
The second time. We said the first time they trapped him into the house. The second time, huh?
When they were in the cave, he knew it.
Yes, they were caught. What's the name of this cave, by the way?
Thawr.
Thawr. Or Hira. Thawr or Hira? The cave of Thawr or the cave of Hira? The cave of Thawr. Okay. What is the cave of Hira? Huh? What's the cave of Hira? No, when the Quran was revealed, yes. But when Iqra came, yes. That's the era of Hira. So now, the second failure came that somehow the bad guys were able to track the prophet and reach to the door of the cave, entrance of the cave. Now, is this failure? If this is a failure, yes. Because they would find the prophet and Abu Bakr and they would all kill them or capture them. Capture them, bring them to Mecca, and basically execute them. Right? Got it? So now, Allah will interfere because the prophet is? Prophet, because the prophet was? Huh?
Desperate.
And so one, two conditions. You have to be desperate. And first of all, you have to do everything you can do. And second, huh? You have to be desperate. Then the soldiers of Allah, the unseen soldiers of Allah will help you. Yes.
Wasn't it when he was in the cave and they were like trying to find him, Allah?
Oh yeah, the spider. Wasn't
he made the spider web and the egg. Do you know this story?
No.
The spider.
Isn't it the web?
So it doesn't look like the.
The bird net.
Yeah, the bird.
Do you know that story?
Yeah. No.
Everybody knows it?
No.
The bird nest, sir.
In the entrance of the cave, Allah made the spider make a web and made a bird makes a nest. Right? Why is that? They think nobody entered. Right? Okay. This, what you just said is false.
What?
The story of spider web and the nest bird is false. It's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true.
They lied to us.
Not they lied to us. It is. It is. It has been spread out in such a way that it became like everybody would take it as true. No, it's not. It's not true. Then what was the soldiers of Allah? Who was the soldiers of Allah that bailed the prophet out when the bad guys arrived to the cave? Huh, the miracle, the soldiers of Allah. You know when you are in a bright place and you go to a dark place? What happened to you? Yes. Allah, yeah, when they go, they can't see in darkness, right?
Yeah.
Okay, until their eyes get used to darkness before they can see. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And indeed, this was the soldier of Allah. So the soldier of Allah is the eye blinding. The soldier of Allah, the eye blinding. So they were looking. Abu Bakr said, "Oh, Prophet Muhammad, if anyone looks under at their shoes, they would see us." The cave was like this. The cave was like this. Here's the mountain, and here's the cave. So if you're standing here, and you can see some pavilion. You got it?
How do you get out?
Oh, you're climbing. Climbing.
Okay.
Whoa.
So. What are you laughing on?
What are you laughing about? Seriously, what are you laughing at?
Guys,
I'm not really sure about it.
Don't be in
the chair. Okay. Don't be. Okay, so did you write this?
Mm-hmm.
The eye blinding. So that's a second miracle. So what is the unseen soldier here?
Blinding
the eye or eye blinding. Okay? Now, did the prophet fail to the third time?
No.
For the third time, the prophet failed. What was his failure? The prophet failed for the third time. What was his failure? Okay. I'll give you a hint. Do you know a guy called Suraqa?
No.
Suraqa.
Suraqa?
Yes, Suraqa. Suraqa. I'm sorry, Suraqa. 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 Where was Suraqa? Suraqa, you know the prophet? The people of Quraysh, they said 100 camels to the one who brings Muhammad dead or alive. 100 camels. These Prophet Muhammad is a fugitive. So they put 100 camels to the one who catch him dead or alive.
Wait, isn't it more if they catch him alive?
They didn't care at this point. Just dead or alive, they don't even care. So now, what happens? This Suraqa was very... He loves money so much. And he was so clever. And when the Prophet was hiding in the cave of Hira, the first day, a lot of people looking for him. Second day, some people will give up. So the number of people looking for him would decrease. Third day would decrease. Fourth day, fifth day, almost nobody's looking for him. Except that guy. Didn't give up because he was desperate. So now the prophet goes out of the cave and he meets the guide man. Remember? Part of the plan was to meet a guide man to take him into this long route. Long route, unknown route to Medina. So he was able to track the prophet. He just knew the area. He knew the unconventional roads that you can use. They know all. And then he was able to catch the prophet and his companion, Abu Bakr. Guess what happens now? Is it the failure for the plan?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Did the prophet do everything he can do?
Yes.
Yes. Did he become a desperate? Mm-hmm. Yes. Then the unseen soldiers are sent by Allah. So the prophet did everything he can do and he became desperate. You got this part? You got this concept of getting desperate? Okay. Guess how Allah saved the Prophet? The unseen soldier of Allah was the quicksand. Was the what? The sand, quicksand. When Suraqa saw the Prophet and Abu Bakr, he start what? Attacking them. What happened? Suraqa horse what? Fell on the ground. Why? Because it's a quicksand. And then the quicksand was swallowing Suraqa and his horse. So Suraqa says, "Ya Muhammad." He knows that this guy is really a miracle, a guy, a prophet. So he said, "Ya Muhammad, pray to Allah to save me, and I will go back." So the prophet prayed to Allah to save him, so he could get. So now he gets up, and his horse gets up and is walking away from the prophet. But when he was walking away from the prophet, you know, he was used to love money. You know, the people who love money, their eyes turn into dollars. So now, their eyes turn into dollars. His eyes turn into dollars. So he goes from a different direction. He goes from a different direction and tries to attack the prophet. Guess what happens again?
Quicksand.
Then he begs of the prophet, "Please, please, pray to Allah to save me, and I will not, and I will go back, and I will go back." So now the prophet prayed for him, and then the guy got up his horse and went back. So now the guy picks another route, and he was about to attack the prophet. So the prophet told him. Prophet understood that he's just desperate, love of money. You know how much was the reward? 100 camels. So the prophet told him, "If you go back, Suraqa, if you return, I am going to give you the bracelet of the emperor of the Persian Empire." You know, this was the very expensive, one-of-a-kind bracelet made for the emperor of the Persian Empire. Just imagine that. He said, "I'm going to give it to you." The prophet said, "I will give it to you." Guess what happened?
His eyes turned into dollars.
He felt well. He felt that this is going to come true. How come he believed the prophet at that point?
Because
he has seen the miracles. He has seen the miracles of the prophet. So he said, this guy can't be a normal person because of these miracles. So he returned back. He returned back to Mecca. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody tells you there is a fugitive, and this fugitive is running away for his life. He's running.
He has to go.
Is running away for his life.
I have to go
too. And, come on now. And when he was running away for his life, he promises you the White House.
The White House?
Yeah. Like, with that, wouldn't you laugh? Ha, 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 ha. You laugh. Why? Because this fugitive is promising you the White House. Would you believe that?
No.
This is exactly the situation. The situation was very, it was like, I'm going to give you the White House. Now, did he get the White House?
Yes.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you how in just a minute. So, the bottom line is that Allah will interfere with you, will interfere when you are with a miracle. When you are desperate. Number two. Number one, desperate. Number two, you have done what?
Everything
you can have done. And there is no way out. Okay? So now, if two evil forces fight, an evil force fight with, if the bad guys fight with the good guys, if there's a war between the bad guys and good guys, and the good guys are outnumbered, like 5,000 to like 100. The good guys are outnumbered. Allah will send the unseen soldier to save the good guys because they are desperate and they have done everything they can do. Then Allah will send his unseen soldiers to save the guys. Who can tell me about another example where Allah...
Okay, it's like there's like, I don't know what it's called.
The Battle of Al-Ahzab? The trench battle?
Yeah, that one. Okay, so yeah. The prophet, and they, like, got the trench, and they tried, but then the people started getting over it, and then...
What are the unseen soldiers in the battle of the trench?
He sent
like a sandstorm.
Exactly. Sandstorm. Sandstorm, cold night. It scared the bad guys. It was dark. There's no moon or anything. It scared the bad guys and started, moving their tents. Their tents became like flying with the wind. Okay? So they got scared and they decided to leave. You got that? This is unseen soldiers. So basically, if the good guys are outnumbered, then Allah will send the unseen soldiers to stand by them. You got that? If the good guys are outnumbered, then Allah will send the unseen soldiers to help them.
Can you take a picture of that board so you can read it? Yeah, but then that's cold.
Okay. So the unseen soldiers. If the unseen soldiers, are they available to the bad guys?
No,
they are available only to who? Good guys. You understand this?
Mm-hmm.
So if bad guys and good guys fight, then the bad guys are fighting against the unseen soldiers. Okay? You got that? What if two bad guys fight? What if both guys, two guys fight? Two bad guys fight, or two bad people fight together. Who wins?
Together?
Yeah, like, against each other.
Wait, so if you're a good guy, nobody can see you?
What? No, I'm saying bad guys.
That was recorded, right?
Yeah.
This was recorded. Bad guys, bad guys are fighting with bad guys. Do Allah send unseen soldiers to either one of them?
No.
So they win. They win. The one who's more clever will win. The one who's more clever, the one that had the good plan, the clever plan, are the ones who are going to win the battle. Okay. But if good guys and bad guys are fighting together, then what's going to happen?
Unseen soldiers.
Unseen soldiers take help to the side of the Muslims. There is an ayah in the Quran that Allah said, it's 1 to 10. One from the good guys is enough to, like if the good guys' army is to the bad guys' army is 1 to 10. One good people for every 10 bad guys. Allah said this is enough in the Quran. This is enough number. Now Allah went further and said, but now you have weaknesses. So the ratio is 1 to 2. It's no longer 1 to 10. Why did Allah drop the ratio from 1 to 10 to 1 to 2? Because Allah said you have weaknesses in you. You're not good, strong Muslims like you were to do. So it's the number is 1 to 2. Now, how do you prove to me that Allah created the earth using the laws of nature, not using the miracle? Huh? If Allah will create the earth using a miracle, then Allah will say, kun fayakun. We'll say what? Kun fayakun. Be, exist, and it will exist. Right? But Allah said that He created heavens and earth in how many days?
Yeah.
6 days, right? Okay. So Allah, 6 days means that Allah created the laws of nature and He left the earth and the universe to form by the laws of nature.
Didn't He say that?
Allah made the sky in 6 days?
I think Allah made the skies in the second or third days. I mean, it's mentioned in the Quran. If you email me, I'll send you the ayah that shows that. Okay. So now there are things that cannot be explained by the laws of nature. That shows you that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given things unseen soldiers. There is a guy, historian, who said, if I don't know for sure that Muhammad was able to transform the Arab into a righteous superpower in 23 years, nobody would believe that. You know how the Arab was before Islam? The pre-Islamic Arab. What was so bad about them? They were idol worshippers. They worshipped images and statues and believed that those treated those the way Allah is to be treated. Can you pray to other than Allah? Can you say, Ya Allah, make dua? Other than Allah? No. So they would do dua to faces and pictures. What else was so bad about them? They used to be mean to their mothers and daughters. Okay? And they used to brag about doing injustice. So they were basically, if I may use this ugly word, they were basically scumbags. The Arabs before the Islam. Then Allah changed them. Allah changed them. Okay? By sending them a prophet. In 23 years, this prophet, see here, this is what was said. In 23 years, the prophet was able to transform the, the scumbags, basically, or the Arabs, into a righteous superpower. Yes? Do you understand this? Is this something that can be explained by the laws of nature?
No.
There was a historian who said, if I don't know that it happened, if I don't know for sure that it happened, I wouldn't believe it. How could Muhammad transform those those scumbags Arabs into righteous people, into a righteous superpower that will teach people civilization and righteousness. Do you understand? Is that miraculous? Can you do such a change in 23 years?
No.
This change took the Prophet 23 years. So the guy said, I can't believe. And then he offered an answer. He said, maybe the answer is because the Prophet was a genius. Because the Prophet was genius in everything. Because the Prophet was genius in what? Everything. How do you like this answer? When somebody says the Prophet did build a superpower in 23 years.
I want superpowers.
Righteous superpower in 23 years. Huh? How would you do the answer? The answer you say because he's a prophet. Because he is
a
prophet. But this guy doesn't believe into that. So he said because, huh? He's genius.
Genius. Is that right?
Do you understand that?
Yeah, I'm going to take my time. Is it
boring? Because the prophet was genius. But there is another historian also that say, without Islam, the Arabic language would have been gone, and the Arabs would have been killed each other and disappeared from existence. So what preserved the Arabic language is the Quran. Quran preserved the Arab language, and Islam preserved the Arab race.
Bragged out doing injustice?
No, there is a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking, and this is not going to work. Okay? So, basically, it is Allah was helping the Prophet with unseen soldiers so that he can build the righteous superpower in 23 years. In how long? 23 years. Transforming the Arabs, who were scumbags, into righteous soldiers, righteous superpower, teaching civilized values to the entire world at the time. You see now? Okay. Now, now, what happened to Suraqah? How did Suraqah, at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who knows Umar? Huh? He was who? What is about him? Huh?
Yeah, wasn't he one of those?
He was the second Khalifa. He was the second Khalifa who ruled the Muslim Empire after the death of Prophet Muhammad. At the time of Umar, the Muslim army was in the battle called al-Qadisiyah. Was the battle called the Qadisiyah. And this Qadisiyah was against Muslims, against the Persian Empire. The Muslim army was 60,000, and the Persian army like 300,000. Okay? Not only that, Persian army had war elephants. You know, a war elephant is not the elephant you see in the zoo. It's not the elephant you see at the zoo. It's a war elephant. It is a war. They had war elephants. And they had heated hooks. You know, hooks, heated hooks. And they throw them at the Muslims, like hundreds of them.
Where did they miss it?
Well,
oh my God.
They dragged them.
They dodged it.
While somebody's fighting, they drag it back from the rope.
But how they drag it back if the Muslims don't?
Well, they throw them at the Muslims and they drag back. So they come back with burnt soldiers.
No,
that's like, disgusting. It's a, no, when it's gets it stabbed in the back and then it's
no.
Just...
No, when you drag it, you're not paying attention, you're fighting, and here is this hook will take you from the back.
Ew.
So... And Muslims
throw it, and then it just carries your leg over.
Yeah, it would carry people. That was What I'm trying to say, what's the point that I'm trying to make here? What's the point that I'm trying to make? The point that I'm trying to make is that the Muslims were outnumbered and the Persians had war elephants and heated hooks. More weapons. More weapons. So what was the...
I like science.
What was the... What was the results? Muslims won the battle. You know how? You know the trick? Anybody knows the trick how Muslims won the battle?
They had Allah on their side.
They made dua.
No, they made dua and everything. But how did they win this battle?
Because
they used two... Yeah. But they did something that has to do with the law of nations. Okay? What is it? They will bring the soldiers that are fearless soldiers. Why they were fearless? Because they want to go to Jannah. You understand? They want to go to Jannah. They want to die for the sake of Allah. And those guys would do like this on the horse. If this is a horse, the guys sit like this on the horse. And then they have their sword. No, they have their sword. And they run towards... And they run towards the what? The war elephant. And then they cut the trunk.
Oh, that's painful.
Then they cut the trunk. Guess what's going to happen to the war elephant when his trunk is cut? The war elephant's like, ooh. When it does this, all the soldiers on the back of the elephant, they die. Right? He throws them out on the ground. And then the elephant will turn and start running back. You understand now? How did they get rid of the elephants? Of the war elephants? And also, they used to shoot arrows at the eyes of the elephants.
What are you doing, Ariba?
Okay, guys. Then after Muslims won, they got the bracelets of the emperor of the Persian Empire, yes. And then they sent it back to the Khalifa, which was Umar. What? Who? Umar. The Khalifa was? Umar. So he called on who? Suraqa. Who called on who? Suraqa. And he asked him, what did the Prophet promise you when you were trying, running after him to capture him? What did the Prophet promise you? Huh? What did the Prophet promise you?
The White House?
That was just an example.
That's an example. He promised him the what? He promised him the what?
The
bracelets. So he said, where is Suraqa? Here is Suraqa. What did the Prophet Muhammad promise you? He said, promise me with the bracelets of the Persian of the... He said, here are the bracelets. You get them. You wear them. Here are the bracelets. Please sit down. Okay? Here are the bracelets. Okay? Hold on. Please.
10 more minutes, guys.
No, we have
5 more minutes.
3, 2, 1.
I have to leave 5 minutes early.
Actually, we already said.
Now there's a question. There is a question. Okay. How did the Prophet travel from Mecca to Jerusalem?
Oh, was it a camel or a horse?
Huh? How did he travel from Mecca to Jerusalem? A miraculous horse or a miraculous animal? Okay, miraculous animal, called al-Buraq. Called what?
Buraq.
Al-Buraq. This miraculous animal...
What was a miraculous animal?
It's a horse.
Either a horse or a mule or something like that.
A mule with wings.
Anyway, his name is al-Buraq. And this al-Buraq will one step at the eye here, the next step at the eyesight. So one step here, the next step is the eyesight. And he kept doing that. The Prophet Muhammad was safely arrived. He safely arrived to Jerusalem very safely in a very short time. Now, the very important question that only the smart, really deep thinkers among you will get it. Why didn't the prophet provide the Buraq, the same miraculous animal, for the prophet to travel from Mecca to Medina?
We talked about
because he wants the lesson. The lesson of Tawfiq.
Yes.
Of believing.
He wanted to teach a lesson. Like a lesson.
Because of the Allah wants us to see the difference between a miracle, a miracle, and getting the job done. Okay, a miracle and getting the job of Allah done. Okay, these were this is why, right? I ask you another question. Maryam alayha salam, when she was worshiping Allah alone in the mihrab, in the masjid, Allah sent to her a fruit from Jannah. Now, later on, Maryam alayhi salam, when she had birth, Allah asked her to shake the palm tree, so that what?
Dates
were wrong. Now, why didn't Allah bring her fruits from Jannah instead? Allah wants to teach us a lesson, which is?
To work for what you want.
Okay, there is a gift, there's what? A gift, and there is getting the job done. Okay, there's a gift, and there's getting the job done. So, what was the gift? Fruit basket from Jannah. What is getting the job done? Was delivering Isa alayhi salam. So, same thing with the Prophet. So you understand the difference between getting the job done and
getting a miracle.
Right? Or getting a gift. The miracle is a gift. The miracle is what?
A gift.
You don't have to work for the gift.
Uh-huh.
But getting the job done,
you have to work for it.
Yeah, okay. You understand?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Adios.
Can you take a picture of this one?